Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And today we have a very special return for a mini episode, I guess, of The Bone Collector. Madeline, what bones did you collect today?
I'm loving this idea of the mini episode. It's a series. It's a series of novels, really, written by somebody. We don't know who she is. It's me, by the way. And so today, the bones that I collected are from a mystical and magical summer. Many of us were there, many of us weren't. And that's why we're Evolution of a Snake, and we chronicle all the things that you weren't there to see. But before we get into this beautiful, incredible summer that you want to hear all about, there's something that we have to talk to you about.
There's something that we have to talk to you about. The Staris tour, heard of it. It was the most successful Taylor Swift podcast tour of the summer. I'm going to say that. I think it's true.
Probably true.
I think it's probably true. So we had the time of our lives fighting dragons with the Americans, and now we've decided to hop across the pond, and we are coming to Dublin on the 4th of September at the Sugar Club, and we are going to back to London. You sold us out the first time. We're expecting the same treatment on the 8th of September at the Unicorn Theater. You know where to get your tickets, evolutionofasnake.com. And by now, tickets have been up for a week. Meet and greet packages go fast. So if you want a meet and greet, you want a sign poster, girl, you better run and get your tickets. But that's all we have to plug to you. We would love to see you at the Staris Tour. We have a brand new show. You may know that each show of the Staris Tour in the US was themed around a different era. And we did 10 shows. So we combined Folklore and Evermore and did all the eras. You might be saying, what do you guys have left? Well,
we always have something up our sleeve. You couldn't even imagine it.
We always have something
you couldn't
up our sleeve.
Even imagine it. You probably could if you're a Swiftie. But I'm just going to say, for the sake of, you know, shock value, you couldn't even imagine it.
You couldn't even imagine it. So I don't know. When are we going to announce the theme? Who knows? But many of you who are intelligent will have figured it out. All I'm going to say is this is what you came for. This
any questions?
Is what you came
any
for.
Any questions on that?
So this is technically, even though it is a Bone Collector special, it is technically an episode of Tay Rewind.
It's both. Tay Rewind and the Bone Collector, they go hand in hand. I'll tell you that for free. Because in order to rewind, you have to have the Bone Collector. You see how that works? I mean, it's just kind of part and parcel. So today, for today's Tay Rewind, we are taking you all the way back to one of the most iconic eras of Taylor Swift's career. Many people agree the Red Era is certainly one of the most iconic Taylor Swift eras. And as a matter of fact, we're going to take you to a very specific summer that happened right before the Red album dropped. We're revisiting a subject which I strongly suspect Taylor would appreciate if we would all collectively forget, but we won't, not here in Evolution of a Snake. It was a summer of intrigue. It was a summer of scandal. It was a summer of romance, a summer of sailing, a summer of becoming best friends with an old lady, and a summer of obsession. It was the summer when Taylor Swift dated Connor Kennedy. Yes.
And the world changed forever. This is, I mean, in terms of like Taylor being messy, it's interesting that it's always the summer. Summertime derangement syndrome. We had Maddie Healy in the summer. We had Connor Kennedy in the summer. Bleach Yellow was in the summer. The Getaway Car, obviously Roman Holiday. Anytime she wants to act the fool, it's when the sun's out. And I get her.
Well, Cruel Summer. Fever Dream High in the Quiet of the Night, you know that I caught it.
Cruel
she says that every summer.
Summer.
The Fever Dream High is caught. Once the heat gets to a certain point, it's over for you. Taylor's going to start acting weird. Good for her.
And the summer has only just started, so we still have a couple months for Taylor to act weird. But this was one of my personal favorites because it just felt like, for many reasons that we'll describe to you, an American fairy tale. This is 2012, okay? So the connotations of like whiteness and Kennedy-ness, those things had not really come to, I would say, the social justice forefront of the mind. So this felt like the link up of the century. It was like America's sweetheart. This was Taylor when she was still in her I was enchanted ball gown, fairy tale princess, linking up with a political dynasty, the last great American dynasty, some might say. And this was like made to be tabloid fodder and headline clickbait. And you know what I have to say about Taylor Swift? She played the role so well. Flawlessly. No notes.
For those of you who are either not American or you DGAF, about the Kennedys, and it's just a name you've heard and you don't know who they are. They are a political dynasty. Many members of the Kennedy family have worked in politics and public service, the most famous of which we all know is John F. Kennedy, JFK, who was the 35th president of the United States. Many people just remember him for getting shot in broad daylight, but he was also a very famous president before he got shot. So he was the first Roman Catholic president of the U.S., and he also served in the Cold War, and he was considered a war hero. So even though he was a member of the Democratic Party, he had admirers on both sides of the political spectrum. Plus, this is kind of cunt, he is still the youngest president we've ever had at 43. We need to
and
bring it back.
And the sexiest. Maybe the sexiest,
let's
too.
Let's say it. Sexiest, youngest. We need to bring back the 40-year-old president because I'm tired of these men. Let's open the case. But he was also a Pulitzer Prize winner. He was the all-American bitch. He's one of the most memorable and iconic U.S. presidents. But many other members of the Kennedy family have gone on to be prominent members of political and public service. For example, Jackie O, that's JFK's wife. She was not only famous for being first lady, but also for being a style icon. Very memorable lady. Robert F. Kennedy was attorney general, and RFK Jr., a name you're all probably familiar with, is now our most delusional Secretary of Health and Human Services of all time. A noted anti-vaxxer, a noted conspiracy theorist, and a noted haver of a dead bear cub carcass. We still don't have the answers for that. But then we also have Ted Kennedy, who was a very famous senator, et cetera,
also killed someone. Let's not forget that.
Case in point, the Kennedys have long been an elite, wealthy family who are considered to be very powerful in politics. They are considered to be one of the, mind the pun, great American dynasties with a long and storied history in the public eye and in politics. And as such, you can imagine reading about them can be pretty interesting, especially if you're Taylor Swift. And well,
now
she was picking up books.
I mean, there are many things to say about Taylor's entanglement with the Kennedys, but I think a point of fascination for her is that at this point in her career, Taylor was really, she had all the commercial success. She had tons of fans. She was very famous, but she was kind of craving and chasing something a little bit different, like a critical acceptance from the music community, sure, but also like a legitimacy, because Taylor was definitely viewed as like this kind of honky-tonk girl from Nashville who kind of made it lucky and made it big. Attaching herself to a lineage like this would give her an air and a level of seriousness that I'm sure was very attractive to her. So I can imagine why this myth was so appealing to her. But I think it is also very much worth noting that the Kennedys have a notoriously horrible relationship to the women that they suck into their orbit. Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Jackie O. They lobotomized their own sister, Rosemary Kennedy, and then pretended she didn't exist after she was profoundly disabled by it. They killed a woman and left her for dead and got away with it. Thank God Taylor did not get sucked into this class of evil men. And also the Kennedys are notedly, famously kind of cursed. Bad things happen to these people. Like bad fates befall them. There are a lot of suicides in the family. There are a lot of strange deaths. It is a heavy burden to carry and not something you want to marry into.
There'll never be another Camelot. That's my impression of Natalie Portman doing Jackie O. My impression of an impression. Well, yes.
Right. There's an incredible book called Ask Not the Women That the Kennedys Destroyed. And one of the core arguments, and this is also kind of a rebuttal to the book that Taylor read that made her be like, I love the Kennedys, is that the Kennedy women, including Ethel Kennedy, a main character here, were sacrificed at the altar of the Kennedy Camelot myth. So, and this myth is that their personal well-being, their emotions, their autonomy always comes second to the preservation of the family's public image and political ambitions. We can see how a famous pop star wouldn't be too good at subjugating her personal well-being, emotional autonomy, and, you know, decision-making, as she shouldn't.
Well, Taylor did not go on to become the next victim of a Chippequiddick-style memento, and we have to clap and cheer. That's all we have to say about that. We have to clap and cheer. She didn't let it get that far. Maybe she knew. Maybe she knew. But nonetheless, Taylor grew enamored with the Kennedys after watching their titular miniseries. And then she began collecting memorabilia for her Nashville and Beverly Hills homes and boning up on the family's history. Now, I would give anything. I couldn't find any of like the specific memorabilia that she bought. I want to know so bad. What memorabilia did you buy? What weird Kennedy groupie items did you buy? They won't tell me. I want to know because I know they exist and I want to see them.
who was her fixation? I personally think that she fixated on Bobby Kennedy and Ethel because Ethel was alive. And she was like, that's my most direct link. But I think everybody's most interested in JFK and Jackie Kennedy. They're the most like iconic people. So I could totally see Taylor maybe going after like a Jackie O style moment. That's the kind of thing that would make sense to me. But for all I know, she bought a pen for $50,000 that was once used by a JFK.
Well, she's young. She has all this money. She has no idea what she wants to do with it. She said, you know what? I think I'll become like really invested in a historical, you know, history of one of the wealthiest and perhaps many people believe most evil families in America. Why not? I mean, I got the money.
Rich behavior is collecting yeah. random useless stuff.
Yeah. So to Rolling Stone, Taylor said on August 4th, 2011, when she was describing watching TV on her computer on tour, she casually mentioned that she watched History Channel documentaries, noting, I'm just so obsessed with the whole history of JFK and RFK. Then she said, I've been obsessed with 50s and 60s music, like the Shirelles and the Beach Boys. Like, wouldn't it be nice if I ever had a wedding, I'd walk down the aisle to that song. Immediately after saying that, she says, I just read a 900-page book called The Kennedy Women, which goes back to the first Kennedy woman coming from Ireland in the 1800s. This morning, I bought books from about John Adams, Lincoln's Cabinet, the Founding Fathers, and Ellis Island. End quote. I always
Did
say,
she go to
remember
school?
When she used to talk to us?
I thought she went
remember
to high school.
When she used to talk to us? This is the kind of stuff she was saying. So I'm saying
it.
Maybe lock it up. Lincoln's
nope,
Cabinet.
I want more.
The Founding Fathers and Ellis Island. She was like, I'm writing my book report.
You see, okay, when you're locked up in the van with Andrea handing out signed copies of Tim McGraw, you don't have time to learn about the Founding Fathers. You have more important things to do. So once she got a break in her schedule, she said, now let me read up on this crazy little place called America.
And after she read up on this crazy little place called America, also in August 2011, literally within days of this Rolling Stone article coming out, which cannot be a coincidence, she was pictured in a beautiful yellow dress with her hair up in a pair of shades, laying flowers at John and Bobby Kennedy's graves.
This is so weird.
Psycho. And everybody knew it. And everybody knew it. But apparently, other people found it rather charming because they're also a little bit cuckoo too, probably. Namely,
aren't
Ethel
they
Murray
also
Kennedy.
Buried in Arlington? Like, there are no paparazzi around there. Like, wherever she was being photographed, like, that was a staged memento. That wasn't like the paparazzi are hanging around at JFK's grave. I'll tell you, there's not much going on there. He's in the dirt.
No. So she definitely want. I think that she did it directly to draw attention to herself. And manifestation works, ladies and gentlemen, because Ethel and Rory Kennedy did take notice. And according to one of the Kennedy books, this sighting was the reason why Rory Kennedy reached out to Taylor's camp to, and get this, beg for Speak Now tour tickets for her kids. After this, Taylor asked Rory for Ethel's number and they chatted for a couple of hours, but that's not even the most important part of this. You're a Kennedy. Buy them. What is up with rich people asking for free stuff all the time?
Well, they probably were too lazy to navigate the labyrinth of ticket buying. And we know Speak Now is a hot ticket to get. So it was probably like, we couldn't be bothered to buy them. So can you give it to us for free? But also, I was just thinking this. I think that Taylor laying the flowers at the grave, that's like her version of us going to Cornelia Street or like Swifties going to like see Louis V up on Bond Street.
Well,
that's her version of it.
To be fair, when I go back to London, I will be present at the site where Anne Boleyn was. I'll be present at where Anne Boleyn was famously executed. I'll be there. So,
But you're not trying to be photographed and like communicate
maybe,
to her existing relatives that you are still
like
there.
Maybe I should do like a photo shoot at the Anne Boleyn execution site.
Laying flowers.
Yeah. Yep. My shades on, my beautiful hair done, makeup to the gods.
She looks gorgeous.
Dress
it has
on.
To be said.
It has
and
to
this,
be said.
And this is
she
the thing
beautiful.
About this entire summer is that she looked crazy good. Like she just looked really good the whole time.
Elegant. So after the Kennedys begged for tickets and after they came to the show and Taylor got Ethel's phone number and they began to chat a little bit, Rory and Ethel invited her to the Sundance Festival in January 2012, where they would also be pictured together. And I still remember seeing this picture, her little beanie, her with the straight hair, with the little old lady. And I was like, What's there to think about this? Nothing weird is going on there. Nothing weird
carpet
at all.
In a beanie and a coat. She looks like she just rolled out of bed. And don't get me wrong, she's mugging. But Ethel Kennedy was like, girl, we couldn't have taken the coat off for the picture.
After this, in February, Taylor told Vogue, the only time in my life I have ever been starstruck was meeting Caroline Ethel Kennedy. I got to spend the afternoon with Ethel a couple of weeks ago. She is one of my favorites because you look back at the pictures of her and Bobby and they always look like they're having the most fun out of everybody. You know, 11 kids, all these exotic animals on their property. I've read a lot about them.
So she's developed a list.
Taylor developed a list. When you do horse girl behaviors, you get the horse girl voice. You're 11 years old and you just discovered your new fixation. So Taylor was clearly obsessed with Ethel. And perhaps the feeling was mutual because setting off a chain of events Ethel could never have predicted. Taylor may have masterminded, but that nobody else could have predicted. Ethel would go on to invite Taylor to a 4th of July party at her house. Now, the thing about these 4th of July parties, it's not just, it's more akin to Taylor's 4th of July parties, but it's even more than that. I actually kind of think Taylor got the idea to have these massive 4th of July parties at her house from the summer that she spent with the Kennedys. But nonetheless, if you're thinking it's just a barbecue, oh no, it's a week. Mm-mm. It's a week long. We love America. Get the yacht out. Get the croquette out or whatever the rich people are doing and let's party for a week straight. Yeah. So the Kennedy house is actually the Kennedy compound in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. Many very famous Kennedys, including JFK, have considered this compound home base. So there is some historical significance to the land. If you care about that kind of thing, Taylor did. I'm sure she was geeked. The second that she arrived, it's three huge houses on 6 acres of land with gardens and sprawling lawns. There's a movie theater in one of the basements. There's dozens of bedrooms. There's a boathouse, et cetera, et cetera. It is pretty much a wet Cape Cod dream. And I think when Taylor showed up and looked around, she said, I belong here. I belong here.
She was doing Lady Gaga at the Capitol building. She was inspecting for bullet holes.
She looked for clues.
And she found something because she was inspired to make every effort she could to stay.
She did. As a matter of fact, at this time, she was rumored to have a romantic fixation or a romantic interest in Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is related to the Kennedys, even though he doesn't have the Kennedy last name. It's through, I can't remember, she's to Maria Shriver, correct? And she's related to the Kennedys. I don't have the Kennedy family tree memorized,
no,
so forgive me.
But she needed a direct link. So he was really just the in.
He was like the link up,
but she needed someone with the last name. She needed to be Taylor Swift Kennedy.
But it must be said, Patrick Schwarzenegger was certainly the more age-appropriate suitor for her. He wasn't in high school.
And he still is.
Yeah, he was just in The White Lotus. He still looks good. So, I mean, come on, girl. But nonetheless, Patrick and Taylor were seen hanging out in paparazzi pics at the 4th of July party weekend. And this was still back when anytime she was seen with the man, it was her new boyfriend. So rumors were flying about the two of them. Okay? They said they're going to get married, et cetera, et cetera. Well,
we could get married, have 10 kids. Like, you could. So doing these behaviors really prompted a switch in Taylor's style. It had already started, but the era of Granny, it's hard to overstate just how much that was influenced by hanging out with Granny. Like, with being around Granny, with being around, like, a place. She felt very drawn to the 50s and the 60s. She incorporated elements of that into her style throughout this summer. And something I love about how she did it, though, was that she would combine it with, like, kind of modern accessories, like with her Keds, or which are still very, like, American thoroughfare, or Ray-Bans Wayfarers. Like, she modernized it a little bit, but Taylor just has the joie de vivre to pull off that kind of like elegant wasp style. That really just is her. It's her bag. She looks good in it. So she looked very refined next to her boy toy in Crocs.
Eleganza. Now, you certainly cannot go to a Kennedy soiree on your own. So Taylor went to this 4th of July week extravaganza with somebody who used to be a very prominent member of the Taylor Swift friendship lore, Diana Agron. And she took Diana sailing. They played sports together. They enjoyed all the lavish family meals.
Well, this is ground zero for Gaylor behaviors. Like, this really is where it all started. But Taylor was doing full LARP in the swimsuit specifically. Kind of a big deal to see her in a swimsuit because I think she kind of fastidiously avoided being photographed in swimsuits, rightfully so. You don't want people to see your body as a teenage girl. I get it. But she looked so cute in this particular outfit with Diana. She's wearing this polka dot one piece and she has with a little bow on it. She's wearing a yellow cardigan and a red bandana. And she's also wearing her red Keds and Ray-Bans Wayfarers. This is cunt.
It was cunt. There was she looked like she was with the Kennedys. I mean, she is somebody who knows how to dress the part.
Was meant to be there. And she also, you know, I miss her wearing a headband. There's this also rare Pat picture of her wearing a poinsettia headband. It's kind of like a mustard yellow color. She's talking to fans. She was made for this. Okay. She was made to look like this.
She used to love wearing headbands, like Fearless era, Speak Now era, Red era. It all, even a little bit in 1989. What happened to our girl? What'd they do with our good
Bring
sis?
Her back. Bring
we want headbands
her
back.
Back.
We want headbands back. When Taylor was wearing these beautiful outfits, she was eating these ridiculous meals. I include this because I thought it was so insane that we know this. That weekend, Ethel served Palm Beach crab stack. I don't know what that is. With poached eggs, Irish potato cakes, blueberry orange bread. And we only know this because it was obsessively reported on in celeb gossip columns. I'm sure the Hyannis Port gossip is crazy. Same thing as Holiday House.
Oh, it probably goes
I'm
off every
sure
year.
I'm sure. It's crazy.
The lore
is insane. She's eating these beautiful meals. She's going sailing. She's, you know, partaking in everything that the Kennedys are doing. She's 100% into it all the way. And to thank the family and Ethel specifically for inviting her to this wonderful weekend where she's having such a good time, Taylor performed a brand new song for the family that she had written entitled Starlight. This is no secret to anybody listening. This is essentially Ethel and Bobby Kennedy fan fiction where she essentially puts herself into Ethel's shoes. She wrote without doing a lick of real research. She talks about a yacht club party they sneak into after meeting in the summer of 45. Indeed, in reality, they met in the winter in Quebec when he was dating her sister. That's not a good song. So she said,
That's not a good start. You're right.
Out.
She needed to just doop.
Starlight.
I think Starlight is an interesting song. It sounds delusional because it's about a delusion. And that's kind of what makes it fun. It's interesting to think about, like, at this point, what the Kennedys are being drawn to about Taylor Swift. I can see, you know, at this point in time, there was a new generation of Kennedys coming up. There hadn't been a really politically influential Kennedy in a long time. And they were probably trying to see and groom the young Kennedys to see, like, who was going to be going for public office, et cetera. And you know what would be really helpful if you wanted to revive the Kennedy myth? Put forth a really attractive man and put forth the most famous pop star in the world on his arm. That would be a really great way to maintain some more relevance in public office. It was Obama's reelection campaign. Like, I think there was a lot of momentum going around the Democrats at this point of time. So I can absolutely see why they would have been so accommodating to Taylor.
Well, yes, because that's what they're very interested in. Staying in the public eye, I think, is something that they're very, as anybody would be in their position, very obsessed with. I think that at the time, people had kind of forgotten about the Kennedys. I mean, I was 18 at the time, so I guess I'm a good sample. I was an 18-year-old girl. I didn't give a fuck about the Kennedys until Taylor Swift started dating one of them. So,
well, Connor Kennedy became relevant to me after that. He was a very relevant person in my life after I found this news out.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was, and we'll get into all this. This was, when this happened, it was like ground zero on Tumblr.com. I'll tell you that for free. But nonetheless,
amazing.
Whether Starlight was factually incorrect or not, the family biographer wrote, as far as they were concerned, Taylor was now an honorary Kennedy. Well, good for her. That's what she wants to hear.
Mission accomplished.
That's what she's been waiting to hear. Ethel was smitten with this girly pop. Apparently, Taylor gives good grandma. Good to know. Ethel said, quote, "She is just spectacular. She is just sensational. She's very kind. You know what she really is? She's game. She had never sailed before, she sailed. She had never gone dragging before, she dragged. She played everything that everyone else was doing with no fuss. And as for how easy it was for her family to fall in love with the singer, Ethel said, "How could you not? I think the world has." Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
It's shocking to me how successfully she managed to ingratiate herself in a week. This speaks to something about Taylor that I love about her. She's like a maniacally social person. She can chameleon her way into any situation. She can make you feel like you are her best friend, even if you're just talking to her for a second. So I'm sure she was just sprinkling that Taylor Swift magic all around, all week long. And it's interesting to think, like, would they have been this receptive to someone like, I don't know, Demi Lovato visiting the compound? Taylor... Probably not. Taylor has a specific image and reputation in the public at this moment that really aligns with the image that they want to portray.
Yes, Taylor, at this time, remember, this is only post-speak now. Taylor had never even said the word shit in her life, as far as anybody knew.
She hadn't.
She'd never said the F-bomb. She has never said, and she's wearing her little granny dresses. She's putting on the princess ball gowns. This is what people want to see. She's very American coded. That's what the Kennedys like. So it absolutely makes sense to me. And I think grannies were a fan of Taylor too. My granny liked Taylor.
They were. Everybody likes Taylor. She's acceptable. She is a good girl. This is something we talked about a lot. Right. It was important to her to uphold that image.
So now, as she is becoming an honorary member of the Kennedy family, and as she's having this wonderful, you know, time of her life being ingratiated into the Kennedys, the Patrick Schwarzenegger allegations continued, including lots of reports of them being flirty with one another. They're getting to know one another. Oh, Taylor thinks Patrick is so cute. Someone even reported seeing them kiss. Do we know that that happened? We don't know that. It wouldn't shock me.
Evidence.
I would have kissed him too. Why wouldn't I kiss him? He's there and he's hot and... Mm-hmm. You know, why not?
He's running around shirtless playing football. Mouth kissing.
Yeah. Mouth kissing now. So after the 4th of July weekend they spent together, Patrick tweeted, "Best 4th of July I could ask for." I'm sure
I'll say.
You thought so. But in the following week, Patrick would leave for work. Now, when this happened and Taylor just kind of like moved on to the next, from the outside looking in, it just kind of seemed like Taylor obsessively and maniacally shifted her sights on the next available male in the Kennedy bloodline. That's what it seemed like.
I don't have a counter argument for that.
Because the bow that she would come out of this 4th of July weekend with would be none other than Connor Kennedy, who is Patrick Schwarzenegger's younger cousin. During the 4th of July week that they met, he was still 17. And mind you, he was still in high school. He actually turned 18 on the 24th of that July. Taylor was famously at the time 23 years old. Funnily enough, the relationship didn't become public until the 27th of July when it was all above board and Taylor was photographed in his port again. This time, nobody could deny it. She's looking very cozy with Connor Kennedy in these pictures, and there was no question, Taylor is now dating Connor Kennedy.
And these images are some of the greatest images ever released in the history of the world. I mean, it's Taylor literally but putting herself inside Connor Kennedy's mouth. That's the only way it can be described. They are making out. It was really something. She looked amazing, it has to be said. But the first image I think we got of them was this one where they're walking down the street. I believe this was like after a party or something. He's wearing board shorts. He looks young. And Taylor's looking gorgeous in a peachy dress. But the age gap discourse, they were accusing Taylor of kidnapping Connor Kennedy. Where does Evolution of a Snake stand on this particular age gap discourse? I'm saying it's not that serious. I'm sorry. I am.
The thing about it that's weird is that he was in high school.
Yeah, that's the part
he
that's
was
hard
still
to be
in
like,
high school.
It feels weird.
Patrick, here's the thing. Patrick was 19. Like, he was not that much older than Connor Kennedy. What's weird is that Connor was in high school.
Yeah,
that's
it's
so
kind of undeniable.
Weird.
When she went to go visit him on the PJ, that was weird. It is weird. But do I think it is morally wrong? When people call it grooming,
no.
I'm like, shut up.
That's not what happened. It was just, I would have loved to pick her brain. I'll say that much. I would love to pick her brain. And many other people at the time were gagging to pick her brain as well. Vanity Fair was gagging to pick Taylor's brain about this specific thing. They published an article that I think is one of the funniest things I've ever read. The title is, quote, "Ask a boarding school expert. If Taylor Swift elopes with Deerfield Academy junior Connor Kennedy, will he need a permission slip?" And they actually called a boarding school expert and asked him a series of questions. Question, do private academies such as Deerfield require permission slips for events such as wisdom tooth removals or spontaneous weddings? And the answer is OOTs, or out of towns, are required in order to leave the campus overnight. However, one's parents do have carte blanche. So should the Kennedys decide they would like Connor to marry, they could take him out for the day. Much more than that, and he would likely fall too far behind in his sports practices to be allowed to participate in the Saturday afternoon games. So this whole article is essentially being like, Connor Kennedy is in high school and he goes to boarding school.
Trying to make it in this economy.
To boarding school, Taylor Swift. So yes, people were discoursing about this.
I love how they immediately go to, if Connor wants to marry, he can get taken out for the day. Like, we're going to marriage immediately. It's not like, what if they want to go on a date? It's like, if he wants to get married for his wedding day, yes, he can have the day off school. I think we're jumping ahead. But Taylor was also jumping ahead. So,
Believe me, there's evidence of Taylor jumping ahead more than once in this scenario. Trust me, there are things going on. So I remember we used to talk about this on Tumblr. So Taylor's the same age as my sister, and I was the same age as Connor Kennedy. So I had like a really good frame of reference for like how much older Taylor was than Connor. And I was going to be a senior in high school that year. So I was like, imagine dating somebody my sister's age. I was like, that's crazy to me. It's crazy.
Right. I think, you know what? It's interesting for gays because I have a completely different frame of reference on like age gaps and like what's appropriate and what's not. I think it is just a little bit different. So yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have a comment on the morality of it. I think it was a gray area. That is kind of what I'm saying.
Period. So in this time period, speaking of gray areas, Connor was mourning the recent death of his mother by suicide after years of mental health struggles. It's worth it to note, we're talking about not even 2 months before all this happened. Connor Kennedy's mother passes away by suicide. Okay. And to make everything that much weirder, one of their quote unquote dates together was Taylor comforting Connor at his mother's grave.
These photos are some of the, I would say this is the most bizarre thing Taylor has ever been photographed doing easily. She is mugging for the camera, looking like she's the widow. She looks gorgeous. She looks like she's in a granny dress. She's looking cunty, legs out, sunglasses on. Connor is, of course, wearing the same t-shirt he wore the day before. He's digging up the grave with his hands. That's not what he's doing. He's like arranging.
No, he's rearranging grass. Yeah.
I think they're probably putting something in the ground, like a flower or a plant or something like that. But it just feels extremely inappropriate that Taylor is there. It does.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So that week in late July, after Connor's 18th birthday, mind you, Taylor rented a small house on the Kennedy property, which, by the way, is a requirement for guests by the property's manager. So it's actually not that weird. If anybody's thinking it's weird that she rented a property, no, it's not. She had to. Connor and Taylor went to a house party together, and of course they turned heads. On Saturday, they went sailing together. They made out a lot on camera, which I always remember being one of the first times I ever saw her really kiss one of her boyfriends. And it wasn't just kissing. I think this is one of the few times I've seen Taylor make a tongue go into somebody else's mouth.
There are so many pictures of them doing this. Like, this is, I would describe this as canoodling. They are canoodling. And the amount of images they have of this canoodling session, it went on for a while. And there were children around in the images. There are children present.
Well.
And they're doing this. Children need to see the way the world works. That's of course. But that, these pictures this period of time, oh, so good. We have her in the red high-waisted shorts, the swim shorts and a polka dot top and a red headband. So cute. She takes it off and has like a red polka dot bikini underneath. Serve. Her commitment to the bit extended to her swimwear. Not only was she dressing like she belonged in the 50s and the 60s, she was also swimming like she belonged in the 50s and the 60s. She was doing a lot of color blocking here. She wore this really cute yellow floral dress, green headband, red lip. I mean, this to me is one of her greatest periods of time styling wise. Like, this is when granny worked and it didn't look like actual granny dress.
Well, whenever I think about like red era style, this is not the only thing that comes to my mind, like images of the summer and this particular relationship. But I do consider like this time period of what she's wearing as like really essential to the red era style. Like this is, mm-hmm. these are the images that come to my mind. And a lot of these pieces that she's wearing are sort of like mimicked later on in the era. High waisted, you know, sort of like mod hipster,
but kind of like,
yeah, exactly.
The Keds.
So, I mean, I'm cheering. There were some misses, but there were also some hits. I'll say it. I'm not scared to say it. Granny.
That's always
sometimes
the case.
Granny
with Taylor
serves. And what's wrong with granny serving? What's wrong with
we
granny
yes
serving? After this weekend of canoodling, going sailing together, making out, et cetera, et cetera. On Sunday, they went to church together. I have no comment on that. I think this is one
Taylor
of the only times
Jesus
I've ever heard.
Don't you forget that. Don't you forget
this
it. She's a Christian.
This is one of the few times I've heard Taylor going to church on Sunday was with a Kennedy. Of course it was, by the way. I mean, this is one of the, you know, the oldest Irish Catholic families in the United States of America. So absolutely, they went to church.
It might have been
together
her first Catholic mass, and I bet it was her last, too. I bet it was her last.
She said, I'm tired of standing up and kneeling down and standing up and kneeling down. I've had
it's
enough.
It's too much work for me. Let me go to Abigail's wedding again. I don't want to do this anymore.
After this weekend, Taylor was reportedly quoted as saying she was impressed by his maturity. Right. I'm sure you were.
That doesn't sound like a planted quote at all.
I'm sure you were. In hearing about Taylor dating Connor, you know what Ethel Kennedy had to say when she first found out about it? She said, and I quote, wait, I thought she was with Patrick. I would kill myself. I would kill myself. I would pass away.
That
she got said, her. Now hold
she
on.
She got her
she got
accidentally.
Her. And she didn't even mean to. Because in spite
Taylor
of all
was getting
this,
clocked
in
by the old ladies, Joni, Ethel, she was getting whacked.
She was getting whacked. And you know what? It's a good time. I feel like when you're 22, 23, you need to get whacked by the old ladies a couple times. You think you know everything?
Absolutely.
Just wait till the old ladies whack you with a rolled up newspaper. Come on. Mm-hmm. But in spite
everybody
of Ethel Kane, Ethel Kane.
Ethel Kane. This is the kind of thing Ethel Kane would love. She would have gone about it differently, let me tell you that. But she would love
this. I'm telling you, Ethel Kane, if you're watching, this is for you. You would love this summer. This is, you need to do the album about this next time. So nonetheless, in spite of this, Ethel Kennedy was still saying nothing but nice things about Taylor, about how great of a role model she was for girls, how they would be so lucky to have her in the family. Like, this lady was obsessed with the girl. I'm telling you. And I think the Kennedys were as obsessed with Taylor as she was with them, or at least some of them were. Again, we already talked about this. This is a family that's obsessed with status and fame to a degree. For example, this was years down the line, but when Patrick Kennedy was hosting a mental health forum at the compound, he remembered, quote, I couldn't resist pointing out to the group during a brief lull in the dialogue that the girl in the bathing suit walking down the path to the docks was Taylor Swift, who was then dating my nephew and probably already composing the song about their breakup. So I think that this is something that still gets talked about in the family today. Remember when Connor dated Taylor Swift? I would be talking
about it. I'm sure Connor's really sick of it being brought up. And if I was Connor's fiance or a girlfriend or whoever it was, I would just die. I would pass away. I'd be like, this cannot be mentioned ever again. It would be a sore spot.
Not on my watch. No. Mm-mm. But I know it does get mentioned and it gets mentioned all the time.
Oh, it does.
It does. In August, Taylor would take Connor back to Nashville to meet her own family. I think it's only right. I mean, she's been canoodling with the Kennedy family for way too long. It's time for him to suffer the torment and go meet Scott Swift. My daddy's going to show you how sorry you'll be, Sonny.
People.
Yep. And as
salt of the earth people to the Kennedys.
Salt of the earth. That's who
the working class.
You know what? Speaking of salt of the earth, the Swifts, I, for some reason, was on Taylor Swift's Wikipedia page today, a place I have not been in a very long time. Just curious, what's it say? You know, what if you didn't know everything about her, what would it say? I did not know this. Hand on the Bible, I did not know this. Did you know that growing up, she had a summer house in Stone Harbor?
I did know that.
I did not know that. Are you guys hearing? Salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Summer house in Stone Harbor.
Multiple
in any
home
event
divas.
in any event. So as the trip to Nashville continued with Connor, Taylor was kind of squiring him about showing him the haunts. Green was the grass where I used to read in Centennial Park, etc., etc. She took him to several restaurants around the city, including the famous Pancake Pantry. Now, Taylor has taken many a person to the famous Pancake Pantry.
This wouldn't be the only first date of that year that she brought to the Pancake Pantry.
No.
Will Anderson?
I think she's brought Selena Gomez there, too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she's gone
with
Selena.
And why wouldn't you go? It's the best place in the world we've been.
It's so good. Great.
To the people
at the
Pancake Pantry.
Yeah. You are our idols. You are our icons. I aspire to be just like you. Thank you so much for everything you do. You are the real American heroes for the pancakes that you make. Thank you.
That's so true.
Now, you might be thinking to yourself, wow, taking him home to meet her parents, going out to eat at the Pancake Pantry for brunch. This all sounds like totally normal relationship stuff that anybody else would do. Well, buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, because just 3 weeks into dating Connor Kennedy, guess what Taylor decides that she's going to go ahead and do? This was the shot heard around the world. Taylor bought an entire house directly adjacent to the Kennedy family compound in Cape Cod. If you haven't seen it, you gotta look at the picture. It is directly, pretty much across the street from the Kennedy compound. It was a 13-room home overlooking Nantucket, kind of similar to the way the Kennedy compound overlooks Nantucket. It's the same view, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm getting at. She had mused about buying a house next to Connor's house to Rolling Stone before the sale was announced, gushing, quote, "That would be so amazing."
Who was letting her talk? This is why Paula got fired and Tree came in. they let Taylor on the mic too much. Also, they bought it, I remember, with a shell company so that it couldn't directly be traced to her. But then someone very quickly realized that the shell company was, in fact, owned by a 13 management or whatever her holding company was. And yeah, people were like, this is Taylor Swift being a crazy girl. And you know what? Yes, it was. You can't deny that. Yes, it was being crazy.
I feel like this thing that she did, buying a house across the street from her still in high school boyfriend who she'd been dating for 3 weeks, gave credence to a very popular belief that many people in the public, the general public, held about her at the time. She was boy crazy and she was frothing at the mouth, insane when it came to her relationships. Got a long list of ex-lovers to tell you I'm insane.
They still hold this belief. And this is evidence for that, to support it.
This is one time where I had to let them say it. I can't really remember what my response to it was, but I'm sure I was
my response was denial. I was like, it was bought by a company. It wasn't bought by her. So that was my denial.
She would never do that.
But to throw her a bone, I think she wanted to mimic what the Kennedys were doing in terms of like being the Americana princess, having a house, hosting people. And I think, you know, her purchase of Watch Hill really shows that. She literally just emulated it elsewhere. So I will throw her the bone of like, I think she maybe would have done this without meeting Connor Kennedy, but I don't think she would have pulled the trigger unless she thought she had an in. So that's where the crazy starts. And I support it.
Period.
Let me be clear.
Listen, we support it 100% because it gives us the lore and it gives us the opportunity to sit here in our rooms with the camera on saying this stuff to you right now. So I support it 100% no matter what. Crazy?
Thank you for giving me a job.
Wrong? Yeah. I didn't say it was wrong. I never said that.
No.
I never said that.
I think it's right, actually. I think it's right.
I think it's right. But even 18-year-old Connor Kennedy might have found this act a little bit strange at the time. We know this because years later in 2019, the family biographer published a book that claimed that Connor was, quote unquote, nervous when Taylor bought the house right next door. So this is the quote. Taylor was saddened when she heard the details of how Mary Kennedy had died. She was close to her own mother and couldn't imagine how Connor was able to go on after facing such tragedy. She admired his strength, his resolve. Connor liked Taylor, don't get me wrong, Connor's friend told the author. But this business of her buying the house on the Cape made him nervous. It seemed as if she was getting a little too attached, spending $5 million on a house just to be near the guy. So pretty much even Connor was like,
$5 million is chump change to her. I'm sorry. It is. It sounds crazy and it is crazy, but come on now. She was just walking around spending anything on anything.
That's an ice cream cone.
To find ways to be like, Tay positive. Like Taylor was right.
Well,
Taylor was right.
Oh, I am.
Yep.
But it is crazy. And that's what I like about it.
If I were him, I also would be extremely spooked by this. Isn't it like a trope in like television and media that teenage boys are like terrified of commitment? They hate clingy, crazy girls. Well, you see how, in the sense that I think also connecting it to his mother's suicide is really makes it seem crazier.
Well, here's what I'd like to say about that. I think that Connor, I don't know about what Connor was thinking, but Taylor's perspective is like, they just like kind of like bonded, not over the death, but like
their Taylor was
like
to their
so
mothers.
Moved by like, you know, him being such right. like he's so sad about his mom. So he's like very like attached to his mom and like she can relate. She loves her mom too. So like she was
this
like,
could
wow,
be a framing
he's
issue.
So,
like it could be the biographer yeah. relating things that aren't related.
Yeah. Who knows?
But it doesn't help.
But nonetheless,
it's craziness.
So Taylor's buying houses that are directly across the street from the Kennedy compound. Everybody's kind of out there thinking we're getting Vanity Fair articles that say, are they going to get married anytime soon? Well, it's not that crazy to think that because she's buying properties. But disaster strikes at the end of that same month of August in 2012. And Taylor would never get to live her dream of having her own house morphed into the Kennedy compound. So here's what happened. This, I truly believe, is genuinely part of the reason they broke up. I sincerely believe that. There's a lot of reasons they broke up, but this was probably the catalyst for why it fizzled out so quickly. Taylor and Connor attended the wedding of Connor's cousin, Kyle, in Boston, Massachusetts. And while Connor was invited, like any 18-year-old boy, he had flopped and didn't RSVP. And Taylor, who was grabbing all the attention, was not exactly welcome because nobody knew she was going to be there. And now here's one of the biggest pop stars in the world just waltzing into the bride's big day. This would turn me into the Joker. Not
right.
Taylor
We've
Swift.
Talked about this before. No, but just... It's not her fault. She obviously was an right. invited guest that was not made aware of the situation. But this is a nightmare scenario for everyone involved. I'm sure also Taylor, who is so good at socializing to make a social faux pas, I'm sure this killed her.
The mother of the bride, Victoria Gifford Kennedy, told the Boston Herald, she couldn't wait to you know, the reporters were coming and she said, oh, I'll tell you all about it. Victoria Kennedy told the Boston Herald that, quote, Connor texted me an hour before the wedding and asked if they could come. I responded with a very clear, please do not come. They came anyway. I personally went up to Miss Swift, whose entrance distracted the entire event, politely introduced myself to her and asked her as nicely as I could to leave. It was like talking to a ghost. She seemed to look right past me, unquote.
She was gagged.
I think she was incredibly gagged.
She was gagged.
She was like,
humiliated.
Wait, you guys didn't know I was going to be here?
And now I'm
Connor?
Here and I can't do anything about
Connor?
It.
Connor? And now
the cat
I'm just
can't
here.
Get back in the bag. Now I'm
no.
Taylor Swift.
Humiliating.
And I'm sure in that moment, she's like, okay, great. This is going to be tabloid fodder now because of this stupid fucking boy who's 18. And you know what? Shame on me now. This is what happens when you date an 18-year-old.
Shame on
this
me
is
now.
How they act. This is how they act. You know, having entanglements with people that are significantly younger than you, they have different ideas of what's socially acceptable or not. And I'm sure they would have told him that Connor could come if he didn't have Taylor Swift with him. But so he probably didn't think like, oh, they said no, whatever. But this is like, this is something. This is crazy.
It was really something. As another source reported, a Kennedy cousin approached Connor and said, dude, you better check yourself. Aunt Vicky is pissed. I think she's going to drag Taylor Swift out of here by her ponytail. The couple left the reception only to just come right back later. We don't know why. But, quote, the family felt like they couldn't do anything. They're trapped. We're being tormented by Connor and Taylor Swift.
They're like canoodling. They're doing their disgusting making out in the middle of the dance floor.
I try to imagine it all the time, like what they were actually doing there. Were you eating dinner? Were you on the dance floor? Were you just like at the ceremony? Like what's going on? And it kills me every time I imagine it because it's just chaos. It's just chaos. This was bad. This was bad. Now, it's worth it to note.
Also,
Taylor's
why would
representation,
you want to come back to a place that you were ejected from? Why would you
we
do
don't
that?
Know. Maybe she's trying to save face. Maybe she's like, no, I can make this right. I can make this right.
No.
Well, you can't. Coming back, you're making it worse. So Taylor's representation countered, quote, Taylor was invited to the wedding, and the bride thanked her profusely for being there. I don't believe that for one fat
If the
second.
Mother of the bride gave a direct quote saying, "I asked her to leave," how can you come back and say this?
And Taylor would also go on to say in Rolling Stone while promoting Red, quote, "I would never knowingly show up somewhere I thought I wasn't invited to, and I would never want to upstage anybody." I believe her.
I believe it.
I believe her 100%. She did not know she was not supposed to be there. And when it started happening, she was like a deer in the headlights. She was like, "Oh, what do I do? Oh my God, everybody's looking. Connor, what do we do? Maybe we should." And Connor's like, "Come on, it's not a big deal."
He's like, "Let your hair down."
I bet he said that.
Aunt Vicky's
he
such
said
a,
that
a bitch. Just ignore her.
Yeah. Aunt Vicky's a bitch. Everybody knows that she's a bitch. Come on.
Let's do
now,
a jello
in
shot.
In spite of the he said, she said. Yeah. In spite of the he said, she said, there's one very reputable source at the site of the scene. Her name is Kathy Lee Gifford, host of the Today Show with Hoda at the time. Literally
queen
one of the funniest
in
women
her
in
own
the history
right.
of the world.
Queen in her
she
own
She gave
right.
her own account because Kathy Lee Gifford was at this wedding. And she corroborated what
Taylor.
The mother of the bride said. She Taylor. Said Taylor was asked to leave twice. That's what Kathy Lee Gifford said.
This is so unbelievably humiliating. Like, this is really, when you think about it, the fact that she survived the summer with her reputation intact is really crazy because she did objectionable thing after objectionable thing.
She did.
And I love that.
And I love that for us. We had the time of our, we were having a ball.
Oh, on Tumblr, we were saying, that yeah. ungrateful bride, she should be so lucky that Taylor's at her wedding.
I would love it if Taylor showed up at my wedding. Meanwhile,
yeah, she should have just
17.
Asked her to sing. She's so kind. Yeah. She would have sang anything.
She would have. That's the thing. If they were like, Taylor, get on the guitar, she would have been like, oh, okay.
Yep. The only way you can make this right is to play us all of your new albums. She would have been like, yes, yeah. sure.
I'll do that right now. Yes, yes.
And so now privately. And sold it. Dumb.
Taylor would blame Connor for the faux pas, insisting that Connor never told her that she wasn't welcome there. Highly likely scenario, considering, again, he is an 18-year-old boy. Yeah, that
Very
definitely
believable.
Happened. Connor said it's not a big deal. Come on, it's just a wedding. He has no concept of what this is. He doesn't know that Taylor is going to ruin the entire day just by showing up. He didn't know that. He was a fool, and Taylor was shanghaied into going there and was humiliated by him. So that's kind of why I think this was a huge part of the reason why she was like, she got the ick. She was like, really? Mm. Come
You're
on.
You're just a dumb boy. She had the realization that like, okay, I actually need to date an adult because in my life, I am responsible for everything. I'm the HBIC. I'm sitting in business meetings talking about packaging. I'm going on tour. I'm making creative decisions. In your life, you're getting texted by your cousin to come to a wedding and you go in your bare feet and your untucked
and your board shorts
and your unwashed hair. And that's fun for summer, but it's not fun for life.
Right. That's another piece of it. He was fun for summer. Is he going to be fun for life? No, because he's going to be at school. You ever heard of that, Taylor? You ever heard of going to class?
When I was living for the hope of it all. Honestly, we should revisit August with this lens.
Precisely. And I have. I told you. When I listened to August the first time, I thought it was about Connor Kennedy.
Well,
I've been revisiting.
The case. 5 years later, time to reopen.
Case. Yep. Mm-hmm. So the very next day after the wedding and after all this happens, Taylor accompanies Connor to the grave of his mother. Is this a PR move? It's worth it to wonder because people were pissed about this wedding thing. I think in the general public and the way that the story was being skewed, it made Taylor seem really bratty, is that how I would describe people's response to this happening. So this mm-hmm. particular event did feel a little publicity related.
Yeah. I mean, it also felt very at this point like you are attention farming. After a summer of being criticized, you're doing a very calculated thing. And also, Taylor had never had the impression as being a fame-hungry person. That was never her like persona in the public eye. And then now, all of a sudden, this feels very attention-seeking, which is off-putting.
And this is also when the Kennedy obsession with Taylor started souring for some of them. So, quote, "She's obsessed with the family," a source says of Swift. And she was also called a Kennedy groupie by Ted Kennedy Jr. That is not a nice thing to say.
But it's true.
Where was the lie?
The
but where was the lie?
It's true. It was
weird.
It
wasn't said with kindness and
love.
She was
acting weird.
She was. So the weirdness was becoming public information. Everybody was starting to clock into, hold on, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So the romance only continued for a little while longer. Taylor sent her private jet to pick Connor up, to bring him to Nashville. This is while she's promoting We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Mind you, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is in the world. And she has Connor Kennedy on a private jet coming to Nashville.
If you watch her in the red live chat, that's a girl who's fresh off Hyannis Port. She's wearing like a kind of like a towel dress. She's tan. She's got her gorgeous windswept hair. Like that is a girl who risked it all.
And she really did risk it all. So about this occasion where Taylor's whisking Connor away to Nashville on the VJ, quote, Taylor missed Connor so much, she sent a plane for him a few days later. He's been with her ever since, and his family does not know when he'll be back. Things have become so serious between them so fast that no one in Hyannis Port would be surprised if they eloped. This source, we don't know who she is, but I'm going to tell you, she's a biddy from Massachusetts who lives in a little house, you know, one of these big mansions out there, who has nothing to do all day but prune the roses and use her binoculars to stare at the Kennedy compound. She wants a scoop so bad, and by God, she was going to get it. So this is just a bored quote from somebody who
what
lives
I
around
remember
the property.
Quotes about this at the time that seemed more reliable. There were quotes from his from people at the school saying that he got really made fun of a lot. Like, people were ripping on him for this. Like, this was embarrassing. It wasn't considered cool. It was like, this is really weird and lame.
Well, that's the thing about dating a kid in high school. High schoolers are like that.
They're mean.
High schoolers are going to do things like that.
Newsflash. So, they're immature
newsflash,
and mean.
And here's another newsflash. By September, Connor went right back to his boarding high school because he was 18 and they broke up. There you go. They parted ways a while ago. It was just a distance thing. No hard feelings. They're fine, said a source. I'm sure there were no hard feelings, except for when he dragged her to a wedding that she wasn't invited to.
I don't think that was a good feeling. It wasn't a soft feeling. I'll tell you that for free.
Now, somebody had something to say about this. This was back when he was just saying anything. He also had great opinions about Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. Trump tweeted immediately after this happened. It just says, quote, re Taylor and Connor. Great news for Taylor. True. No,
it's
he's
true.
Right.
It was he's great news
right.
for Taylor.
It was great news for Taylor's. We don't need to be doing the whole, you know, the nonsense had
that
come
could
to his
only
head.
Have gotten worse if it had developed. If that had gone on any longer, the red release would have been very much overshadowed by that. So I'm surprised that it even continued into promo at all. But I guess it would have looked really bad if she broke up with him and then put out a song called We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together immediately after.
Yeah, I'm sure that definitely played a factor. I think perhaps that could have played a factor in why they stayed together for as long as they did. And they weren't together that long. That's the crazy part. She extended
like
it.
Like a month?
And it still wasn't that long. Yeah,
like a month and a half,
6 weeks, something like that.
It was a fling.
Yeah. So she only ever wrote one song about her summer in Cape Cod with Connor Kennedy. It's called Everything Has Changed. We all know she co-wrote that song with Ed Sheeran. There's really not that much to mine from it because it's essentially just a cute song about a new relationship and all the butterflies and excitement that come from it. There's nothing really specific about him.
It's
even less specific than So High School was.
Yeah, it's about her.
Yeah. So there you go. But we can surmise she had a fun summer.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you.
She had a fun summer. And Connor was nice, and she had fun with him. That's what he was there for.
And he's never spoken poorly about her, ever.
No, because there's nothing poor to say. He was the fool, and she was the beautiful queen that came down from her throne to spend 6 amazing weeks swimming and going sailing with him and having fun. What else
is there
in this world? So after the dust had settled, she would go on to sell the house that she bought next door a year later for $1 million, which, by the way, is 3 less million than she paid for it ultimately. And she still would never publicly confirm or deny if she ever bought that house in the first place. She has never said, I did that. But in April of 2013, she did try to make light of it by joking in a Vanity Fair profile, quote, people say that about me, that I apparently buy houses next to every boy I like. That's a thing that I apparently do. If I like you, I will apparently buy up the real estate market just to freak you out so you leave me, unquote. Well, If the shoe fits. If the shoe fits.
The shoe fits. I mean, we talk a lot about like how she became the national lightning rod for slut shaming. And that was, of course, due to societal horrible attitudes towards women and actual slut shaming. But things like this don't help.
No, they
things
don't.
Like this don't help crazy girlfriend allegations. They don't. And like, this is objectively a weird way for any person to behave in any circumstance, regardless of their gender, regardless of their age. These are strange behaviors. And I have to wonder what Andrea Swift was saying. I think Andrea was saying, do it, do it, do it. I want to come to the compound too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm surprised she was never pictured there. If I was Andrea, I'd be like, I want to go. When can I go? When can I get on the
PJ?
When
can I come and hang out with your 17-year-old boyfriend now?
Yeah. I want to go. I want to go to the Kennedy compound. That's what I would be doing if I was a mom, because Andrea surely, and Scott too, know way more about the Kennedys and are like way more
They're into
the house.
Yeah. You know they're into it.
Yeah. Now, because Taylor put Starlight on the album, she had to kind of keep talking about the Kennedys a little bit during promo and what have you. Despite the breakup, it's worth it to note the Kennedys and Taylor Swift have, for the most part, continued their mutual admiration society. In December 2012, just months after the breakup, Taylor attended the Ripple of Hope Gala, which was organized by Carrie Kennedy to celebrate those who work for social change. Receiving an honor, Taylor shared some lessons she'd learned from Ethel. Specifically, she recalled swimming and boating with the Kennedys at the compound and initially being afraid to, quote unquote, drag or be dragged on a rope behind a boat. In response, Ethel said, if you don't do this, you'll run the risk of being boring. Now get in the water. That's kind of a cute little story. I would be scared too. I don't want to be
Kennedy,
tied to a rope.
Well, you know what's really gagging me about that is that the Ask Not book that I mentioned earlier, one of the like key themes about how the Kennedy men treat women is they constantly put their female admirers in physically dangerous situations. Like they'll kayak with them in choppy waters when they have a broken foot. They will put them on the roof of their car and spin around really fast. Like a reckless abandon for human life. So Taylor, you shouldn't have gotten that water.
you shouldn't have gotten dragged
and been boring.
I never heard of, like, why is it called dragging too? Why isn't it just called?
Why
don't you just go water skiing?
Kennedy thing. It's a weird pushing you to the limit of your life moment. Congratulations.
So in 2012, they were still on friendly terms, I would guess. And then years later, Terry Kennedy, daughter of Ethel, she still loves Starlight. And why would you not? And recently she shared the song on Twitter to celebrate Ethel Kennedy's 96th birthday.
She's still alive?
I think so.
I was just thinking, I wonder what Taylor's going to say.
When she passes away?
She should say something. She should honestly say something.
She should say something. So there are no hard feelings at any that we know of between the Kennedys and Taylor, but she did abruptly stop mentioning them outside of Starlight after all this went down. I mean, what is there to say? It's not really something
reasonable
to brag about. At the time, I think that she thought it was, but as soon as it was over, I think she was kind of like, we don't need to be talking about that.
She was like, I got my fix. I got my summer of Hyannis Port. I got the shine that I needed to get from that. And now I'm going to go back to living cool pop star life. Because shocking, being a cool pop star is actually more fun than being part of a decaying American legacy full of like secrets and sadness and death.
High society sucks. Like high white society sucks.
No, they're all on drugs. They're all dying. It's not cute. And I think Taylor has enough good sense to know. I'm sure she got spidey senses. She was like, ooh, no. Can't do that.
I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here. So there you go. That was
one of the greatest things that's ever happened in the history of the
Taylor Nation. One of the greatest things. And I should give a huge shout out to my favorite Twitter in the whole world. One of the few Twitters that's like amazing still on Twitter.com. Pop Culture Died in 2009. They were such a helpful source that I use them as like a timeline for events. And then I kind of like built around it. So thank you, Pop Culture Died in 2009, for chronicling this amazing thing that happened. And it's worth it to note, at the end, they said that they were getting like death threats and stuff from Swifties for talking about it in the specific way that they were talking about it. It happened. Come on.
It happened.
You can't pretend this didn't happen.
You have to acknowledge it as part. But Taylor likes to rewrite history. She'll go in and fiddle around and change stuff in the hopes that people will forget about it, but not us. Not us.
Back when we were still changing for the better. One
period
was enough.
And that
many people are saying this.
And that is your Tay Rewind episode. Make sure to go to patreon.com/swiftologist for weekly bonus episodes and evolutionofsnake.com to come see us in London and Dublin. Adios.